Hello. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You saying this to me, is it supposed to like bring fear to me or something?
Come on.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Picked off at the goal line, the seventh round pick, Jalen Watson.
Watson, yes.
That boy is good.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts. Browns defensive end Myles Garrett. Legendary TV executive Dick Ebersol. Still to come. From NCIS Los Angeles, actor Gerald McCraney. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show here on the Roku channel, channel 210. If you missed any of the first couple of hours, Jalen Hurts. I love talking to him. He'd make me one through a wall just listening to the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. He was on in hour number one. Hour number two, Dick Ebersol, the brilliant television executive with a new book from Saturday night to Sunday. And if you missed any of that, guess what? On the Roku channel 210, we're going to re-air right away after this hour. And so catch up on anything that you may have missed. It's free, the Roku channel, on all Samsung smart TVs, Roku devices, Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app, as well as the RokuChannel.com. The actor Gerald McCraney is going to be joining us in studio. Myles Garrett's about to join us from the Cleveland Browns. One of the things I love about this program is not just the fact that I get to talk to top-notch athletes like Jalen Hurts and Myles Garrett and top-notch people actors and executives, but you never know what's going to be a topic of discussion from day to day, week to week. For instance, when I woke up this week, I thought there's no way I'm going to be talking about a huge ass elf in the middle of a field in Cleveland, Ohio. I just didn't think that would be possible. I didn't have no idea who Brownie the Elf was. And I learned that there's like a 80 year history with this, this mascot, and there he's going to be right in the middle of the field, and a Heisman-like pose, Mike Prefer, the special teams coach of the Browns, everybody's being asked about it. This is what Mike Prefer, the special teams coach, had to say about it.
What do you think about the new midfield logo?
Ball security. It's bad. He's not covering up the tip of the ball. It's the first thing I think of. His hand is back here. The tip of the ball is exposed. I can't believe they're going to put that on the 50-yard line. No. Well, he will not be our returner. No.
So there's no returning. No returning in the future, Brownie the Elf. All right. So I mean,
ball security.
I guess
that's so good.
I mean, he's only a defensive player of the year candidate, one of the best in the business in the National Football League, and as a first overall selection of the 2017 draft, he sacked the first overall selection of the 2018 draft last week in the season opening win for the Browns. It'd have to be his former teammate Baker Mayfield. There's so much to talk about with Myles Garrett on the Mercedes-Benz fans phone line, but I guess Myles, first things up is what do you think of the that elf, sir? What do you think of the elf?
Oh man, I didn't think I'd be on the Rich Eisen Show talking about an elf either. So, you know, it's two of me both.
Makes two of us. But you're the grown ass man who's going to be on top of the huge ass elf. So, what do you think? What do you think of it?
I'm gonna be honest. I agree with you. I had no idea about the history. I had no idea. It went back 80 years, and to me, I was always completely all in on the helmet.
Yeah.
And the dog, and then the elf came in out of nowhere, and I was completely lost because I had no idea where this elf came into things.
Well, Myles, you know, again, my problems are not really yours, but I kind of took a very strong stance against the elf, and man, did I hear it from Browns fans. Oh, gosh. I heard about it significantly. So I guess they're into it, Myles, big time. You know?
Well, let me not go too far on my stance. You know, I don't have a problem with the elf.
Okay.
I just wasn't expecting the elf. And I didn't know that we were so proud of it. But, you know, if it makes us proud, and you know, that's what we voted for, to be in the middle of the field, I got no problem kicking ass on top of the elf.
I guess I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask you. Have you ever kicked ass on top of an elf before? Have you ever done anything like that, Myles Garrett?
No, sir, but it's the first time for everything.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, I guess, all right, let's get down to the football. So, what was your takeaway from the week one win in Carolina for you?
On defense, we looked very, very talented, very athletic. I mean, we had a couple of minor mistakes that turned into the big plays for their offense. But for the most part, well, we were doing very well in containing their offense, containing Baker and McCaffrey. And we got to make sure that we're lasered in, you know, at all times, because those couple plays brought them back into the game. But the offense did know what they were supposed to do and gave us a good lead. Special teams looked good. Words to Mike Priest. But, you know, us as a defense, we have a lot of potential. And if we're focused in, you know, we could have held them to maybe under 100 yards total.
Yeah. Were there any moments when, because you did meet at the quarterback, did you have anything, any exchanges with Baker Mayfield on the field last week, Miles?
No exchanges other than before and after the game. You know, told him to have a good game, good luck to him. And after the game, said he had a good one. So wish you the best.
Right, so that was basically it, just a chit-chat before game. Nothing in the middle of it. Nothing like on, you know, when you're after you sacked him a couple times.
I remember I blasted him on one play, and he got up, and he actually completed the pass. And I looked back, and I was like, nice throw. And so I was back there with him. I guess he took that as an opportunity to hurry up and get on the line. I was like, this son of a gun. I'm running back to get in position. They're about to, you know, start a new play. And I was like, of course he'd use that against me.
Oh, so you actually were trying to compliment him, and he used you taking a second to do so against you to try and hurry up another snap. That's what you're saying?
He did. He did.
You got to
it was a smart heads-up play by him, but, yeah. You know. Nah, no, for next time.
I was about to say, you got to respect that a little bit deep down, right? You got to respect that a little bit, no?
Yeah, I do. No, okay. He's a smart guy. I'd probably do the same thing if I was, you know, having someone rush down my back end.
Okay, very good. Are you aware of the last time the Cleveland Browns started 2-0, Myles Garrett? Do you know that number?
I am not.
I'll help you out.
I'll try to keep it with these statistics.
I will help you out. It's 1993. It's been a very long time since that happened. What would that mean for you based on everything that's gone on with your team and your franchise over the last half year to start off 2-0? What would that significance be for you?
I try to keep things small. So to me, last week's gone. No, last week's no drama and news cycle is over. So to me, it's just about being 1-0. I've had people, you know, ask me if I could, you know, keep up, you know, the pace that I had last week. I said, I don't need to keep up anything. I just need to, you know, show up this week and play the game that I've always played. So these guys don't need to worry about being 2-0 or 3-0. We just have to worry about taking care of business this week and worry about this opponent right now and worry about the rep that we had ahead of us. And it's just one play at a time. If we just keep on stacking those together, I think we'll be in a good place.
What is Jacoby Brissett's I guess role right now, leadership? Is he front and center? Is he somebody that's taking the mantle in the 11 weeks that he has it for the moment, Miles?
I think he has. I think he's been able to be front and center and lead this offense and this team at times when he has to, especially, you know, this week. He's really, you know, come on strong. He's looked very crisp. Getting the ball off on time and putting it where it needs to be. I like what I've seen from him on the last few weeks, but this week I feel like he's gotten a little bit comfortable getting the game underneath his belt, and I think he'll look even better this week.
How much in contact are you with Deshaun Watson, Myles Garrett? You chit-chat with him at all?
Yeah, I talk to him when I can. You know, when I see him in the building, I talk to him, and then I try to text him and see how he's doing. And so when he's not available, just seeing, you know, how other guys are, how they've been interacting with him and talking to him. You know, each relationship is different, so just saying, you know, where his head's at, and make sure he's staying up and positive, and, you know, when his time comes, he's ready to go.
And how does Brissett handle, I mean, or you just block it all out, the concept that you hear, well, you got to get Jimmy Garoppolo, right? You got to get somebody else. That Brissett is not going to be the guy for 11 weeks. You need that help. What happens there when that filters into the conversation?
I don't think he feels it at all.
Okay.
I feel like he's heard that, you know, a couple times in his career, and he's been proving people wrong for quite a while. So I think he takes that on as a challenge. And so do we as a defense, being able to keep points off the board, making his job a little bit easier, make our job as a team a little bit easier, and lightening the load on them and what he has to do. And I think we're going to put our team in position to win and favorable positions and field positions so that he can put some easy points on the board.
Myles Garrett here on the Rich Eisen Show, and the few minutes left here with him on the Friday before taking on the Jets on top of a huge-ass elf to kick off the home schedule for the Cleveland Browns. How's that for a reset? Do you like that reset right there? That's a radio reset right there. Do you like that?
Great.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I'll take any compliments from you because I know I'm sure you throw them around like manhole covers for some people. Hey, what would it, so you said you like to keep it simple. You don't think, about stacking week on top of week on top of week. You just take it one at a time. But defensive player of the year, you have that ability. It's obvious. Everyone throws you in that mix. What do you think about that very often? What would it mean for you to win that award in this NFL? Myles Garrett.
I think it'd be a dream come true for me. Something I've wanted to achieve since I've been a football player when I started in high school. But I know that greatness takes consistency, and breaking down consistency is just doing it one at a time, the same way each time. And so I have to be great from week to week to week, and I don't have to worry about being great every big game or every opportunity. There's 50, 60, 70 plus opportunities each game. And it only takes three or four of those game-changing plays, for those looks and those eyes start to turning your way, and you're starting to be appreciated for what you're doing. And I feel like I just need to stack those and make those happen a little more often from game to game, from rep to rep, and even the small details, making sure the guys are running on my side and playing the run as well as I can, and not taking any plays off.
And I'm going to ask you this question. Feel free to answer it as much as you want, or just take a pass. It's up to you. Clearly, but Aaron Donald is always in the mix for defensive player of the year, and he swung a couple helmets in a practice skirmish and got no suspension. It appears, certainly not from the NFL. What did you think of that? Do you got any thoughts on that subject matter, Myles Garrett?
For me, I didn't see about it because I really don't pay attention to social media like that.
Okay.
So, I had my friend actually reach out to me, and they told me about it. But I don't really have an opinion just because that's his situation.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, they're going to, as an organization, handle it how they will as far as discipline action. But, I don't think I think each situation is different. And with his, his team knows the kind of guy he is and the kind of work he's put in, the level of detail that goes into his job. And sometimes, emotions run high, especially at joint practice. We've seen that a lot. So I'm not excusing his behavior, but there's disagreements, there's stuff like that. And at the end of the day, he's going to handle it. He's going to, figure it out, get it fixed with his team. And with the Bengals, and I'm sure it will be a great matchup if they see each other again.
I bet. Since it would probably most likely be in the Super Bowl, but you have your own two cents on that subject matter. How far do you think the Browns can go before I send you on to your Friday? Myles Garrett, give me your two cents on that subject. Myles.
On what subject? Say that again.
How far the Browns can go? What do you think?
How far they can go?
Yes, you.
We can go as far as we want. As far as we really want to, we have a lot of talent all over the field and thing in every room, and it's all a matter of how focused on the job we are each week. If we want to be detailed in our work and prepared for every game and taking each one one at a time and not getting too high or too low with whatever streaks occur or whatever ups and downs that we suffer. I think we can go pretty far. I think we can play and beat a lot of the top teams in the league right now. But you know, that all depends on the mental stability and awareness of the young guys and us as the older guys now, keeping everybody on the task and focus on just one job and staying low to the ground, avoiding all the distractions and the people who are going to try to lift us up if we're doing well or tear us down if we're not. Just trying to keep the straight and narrow, not letting any dissension happen throughout the season.
Well, not to dare to put words in your mouth, but I'm assuming when you say there's talent all over the field, you are including Brownie the Elf in that, correct, Miles? That is correct when you say that, all over the field, right?
All over the field. I mentioned everywhere. Fans, Elf, and players included.
Okay, right. Very good. All-inclusive. Good to know. Miles, thanks for the time. I always appreciate you saying yes when I call to see if you'll join. I truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it, too. Thank you.
Right back at you. @Flash_Garrett when he is on social media. That's Miles Garrett, grown-ass man, defensive player of the year, candidate, the Cleveland Browns. You laughing over there?
I tweeted it out. Like, I got no problem kicking ass on top of the Elf.
That's
like, I don't think it matters to him what's on that field. He's going to put some bodies into it.
I highly respect that man and his game.
That's a big man.
You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. All right. This is good stuff.
Love it.
Before we bring him out, this is one of the greatest things we have on this set.
No doubt.
This is a Deadwood hat.
No doubt.
That Susie got when she was working at HBO. My wife and I are big-time fans of Deadwood. And on this hat are autographs. And I'm glad you can't see what's written on it other than the autographs.
Don't zoom in.
Because I have asked every single guest that's appeared on this show, that was on the show Deadwood, to sign the hat along with their favorite curse word that they've said on the show or heard on the show. And those who have signed the hat, Timothy Oliphant has signed the hat. We had W. Earl Brown sign the hat. Garrett Dillahunt signed the hat. Kristen Bell signed the hat. Ian McShane signed the hat. The next guest, Gerald McCraney, brilliant in this show among many other items in his great career as George Hurst. Now on NCIS Los Angeles, Gerald McCraney when we come back in studio. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit that's now rejoined us with Gerald McCraney here in studio. Again, I am a huge fan of your work. And when I heard that you were available to come in, I'm like, absolutely. So let me just dive in right now with NCIS Los Angeles. And just looking at your career, playing roles on television and things of that nature,
I don't see too many sports titles in any of this. Did you ever have any sort of sports potential?
No. I never played, an athlete of any sort. But Major Dad was a Saints fan because I'm a Saints fan. And
okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and I was one of the producers on the show, and that's, you know, the Major was a Saints fan.
So you had to make sure that, was there anybody who was attempting to make a Major Dad and a Falcons fan, and you had to slap them down?
No.
You had to stop it?
No, but I knew they were developing an episode about missing a football game, and I said, make it the Saints.
So why the Saints? Why is the Saints your team?
My brother, I'm from Mississippi,
yes,
and my brother worked for John Meekum Sr., when the franchise was first bought by John Meekum Jr.,
mm-hmm.
and my brother helped negotiate for their practice field, helped in signing some of the original players and things like that. So I've been a Saints fan since before they were Saints, really.
So then when Archie Manning joins the franchise...
And I went to school at Ole Miss.
That's it.
I was there when Archie was there, so...
Bingo. Yeah. So that hit the Gerald McCraney target right there.
Absolutely. Bosa. That was the trifecta. Really.
So you were there when Archie was on...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doing his thing.
That was a spectacular thing to see when he was playing at Ole Miss.
Right, because if I'm not mistaken, the miles per hour on campus matched his uniform
18.
Number. That's right. That's
it. Still, that's the top speed at Ole Miss is 18.
And then, of course, Eli goes there as well.
Yeah.
So did you ever have any sports playing possibility?
I played
in
high school, but that was it. You know, I think I weighed maybe 150, 155 pounds.
Yeah.
And I was fairly quick. I could do a 10 flat 100 in those days.
Yes.
We had a guy at Ole Miss who weighed like 280 pounds, could do it in 9.7 or something like that. So theater department looked
real
good to me.
Theater department for you, that's where it was. Yeah. So how did you get into acting? How did that get started for you?
Actually, that was related to football in a way. I was in junior high school,
mm-hmm.
and I messed up one of my knees, just twisted it badly.
Mm-hmm.
But I was out for the season, and my father... was in construction. He built houses for a living.
Yes.
Somebody suggested that for me to have something to do in the afternoon, I go help out at the drama club building sets for them and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So I did. And they put me in one of their plays, and I sort of liked it and thought, I think I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
So since the age of 14, I've sort of known I wanted to be an actor.
And so the twist...
I'm still working on it.
You're still working on it for sure. What do you get the most when you're walking around and people see you?
It depends on their age.
Right. So walk me through, what do you get the most then from different age groups or what?
Yeah, it's different age groups. The people on walkers, fans of Simon and Simon.
Simon and Simon.
Then comes Major Dad. And here lately, it'll be people who are fans of Deadwood or NCIS Los Angeles.
You must get some Longmire too, right? Do you get some?
Oh yeah, I get a lot of Longmire fans.
Right, and so I don't know. I mean, I'm 53, and I would give you Simon and Simon too. I don't know. I don't use a walker or anything like that. You know.
Well, a lot of them do, though.
A lot of them do. Okay, yeah. I'm glad that it's all worked out. We like to play a game here, Gerald McCraney, to sort of touch base on a lot of parts of people's filmography or televisionography, I don't know if that's a word, called Celebrity True or False, where things have been reported or written, and you say if they're true or not, okay?
All right.
Okay, very good. I appreciate you playing it. Here we go, Celebrity True or False with Gerald McCraney, and we also have some great production value. Go ahead and hit it, please.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
There you go. That's the production value.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. You've been around. I'm sure you're impressed by the production value. First up for you, Gerald McCraney. True or false? You dropped out of Ole Miss, and then you worked in Louisiana oil fields on offshore rigs in the Gulf of Mexico. Is that true or false?
I've worked both onshore and offshore rigs. I was what's called a mud logger, and that's sort of a half-assed geologist. You keep track of the drill rate and the material that you're drilling through, and you determine whether there's an oil-bearing sand,
right,
and things like that. But I worked half the year in the oil field and the other half the year in a repertory company in New Orleans. And that, but working in the oil patch allowed me to afford getting an acting career started.
Were you the only one working in the oil fields pulling such double duty?
Oh, yeah.
Did anybody who worked in the oil fields with you, you know, come watch you and your other job? Did they come check you out?
It's an interesting thing. The first job I had in the oil field was actually working on a survey crew for an oil company.
Uh-huh.
And one of the guys who was on that crew with me had a son who wound up out here in Southern California and got in touch with me.
Yes.
When I was doing Major Dad, and I had him come out and sit in the audience and be there for the filming of one of our episodes of Major Dad. But and another guy on that crew actually would hold book for me when we were finished with our work for the day. He would hold book for me, do my audition scenes for the rep company that I wound up joining in New Orleans. So,
and that's what
some very nice people.
And that's what helped get you started.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah. But some great guys in the oil patch down there.
Next one, true or false. You hold the distinction of being the last guest star to meet Matt Dillon in a gunfight in Gunsmoke. Is that
not
true or
a gunfight, a showdown where we both go for our guns. There was other gunplay in the rest of the episode, but yes. I was the last one to draw against Matt Dillon in the last episode of the 20th year.
How'd that turn out?
Badly for me.
Didn't turn out well, but you were the last.
But I did beat him.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, we're doing the rehearsal, and I had practiced drawing the gun, so I didn't look stupid doing it.
Yes.
But I could only do it at one speed. And we're rehearsing the thing, and Arness is there, and I pulled the gun out, and he was just about to touch his, and he looked at the director and said, "It's a good 20-year run."
Okay, yeah. So at least he took it in good humor.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, that cast, they were such great people. The first episode I did of Gunsmoke, I had a scene with Milburn Stone, and I was nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene itself wasn't working, and Milburn Stone thought that it wasn't working as well.
Right.
And he just said to the director, "Let's just stop for a minute." And he took me aside, and we started improvising the scene back and forth, and we came back, and Milburn said, "All right, here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and roll the cameras.
Go for it."
And we went for it, and it worked. But he sensed my discomfort with the scene and made it work for me. And everybody on that show was that way.
Next up for Celebrity True or False with Gerald McCraney. True or false, you were up for the role of Luke Duke on Dukes of Hazzard. Is that true or false?
Well, in a way, I did an early audition for it. And they asked me to do it again and do it in a really broad way, and I didn't feel comfortable doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they wanted a really redneck, dumbass Southerner in that audition process. And being, a dumbass Southerner, I rather resented that. So
you didn't say I've done repertory. No. So then you were not right for the role is what you're saying.
No, I wasn't.
Okay. How did you wind up with Simon & Simon then? How did that? Because that was your first long-term gig.
A pilot for a series called Gypsy Warriors.
Yes.
That Phil Daguerre had created. And they did their pilot, and I was up for one of the two leads in it. But they decided to go with some guy named Selleck instead. I don't know why. But anyway, the same guy created Simon & Simon.
Yes.
And they had already hired Jameson Parker. And they had gone through everybody else in Hollywood and New York, and nobody quite fit in. So, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel, they came to me and asked if I would come over and read with Jameson. And I did. And I think that was on a Wednesday. And the following Monday, I was in Florida shooting the first pilot that we did for it.
And then you did about, what, 8 years?
Eight years
that was on. And then you went to Major Dad directly from that, right?
Yeah, I think I had 3 months between Simon & Simon and Major Dad. And the producer, started out as line producer and wound up executive producer of Simon & Simon, was the guy who came up with the concept of Major Dad. So it all worked out perfectly.
Why do you think Major Dad worked, Gerald McCraney?
I think people at that time were ready to embrace the military.
1989 through 93.
Yeah. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do a show like that is I had family people who were career military. And in television throughout the 70s, all you saw was stuff that was like about the crazed Vietnam veteran. Well, I knew a lot of people who served in Vietnam, and, you know, they were not the crazed Vietnam veteran, and they weren't Rambo. They were just ordinary people who had an extraordinary job to do, and they did it. And I wanted to sort of represent that on television.
And that's why you think it worked as well as it
did. Yeah, and I think people were ready for that.
And people are still coming up to you and talking to you about that to this day. Joe McCraney here on The Rich Eisen Show. I've restrained myself from jumping in about Deadwood from the minute you walked on the set. Because it is truly one of the most remarkable dramas I've ever seen. You joined it midway through.
Well, actually, I was the last episode of the second season and then came back for the third season.
Where you were a real bad man.
I was a son of a bitch.
You sure were.
Yeah.
Playing George Hurst, who is the father of William Randolph Hurst, who is Citizen Kane. And, you know, you came in and just totally upended the town of Deadwood. What was that like for you to join that cast on that show?
That was some of the greatest fun I have ever had.
Fun. I like it.
Oh, yeah. And to be able to do such delicious writing, that was a gift. And every actor on the show will tell you the same thing, that David's writing is what made that show such a joy. And when we came back to do the movie after 15 years,
yes.
we came back to do a movie, it's an interesting thing. All the actors had their little trailers, you know, outside the stage. But between shots, between setups, between scenes, nobody went back to their trailer. Everybody hung out just off stage to catch up, to just shoot the bull with each other. It was because we missed each other so much, and we missed doing that show so much.
And there was so much anticipation, it sounded, because you know, I was waiting for the film. I was waiting for a fourth season, to be very honest with you. And when you're referring to David, you're referring to David Milch, who wrote the most filthy iambic pentameter in the history of that. I mean, it just, I didn't know words could come out and sound so lyrical and be so filthy as he did. Is it true he was writing new lines literally up to the minute before you were
Absolutely.
Had to say them?
Absolutely.
That couldn't have been easy at all for you.
Actually, I found it terribly easy because his writing was a good deal like doing Shakespeare. There was a rhythm to it. And once you caught that rhythm, it was, for me, actually rather easy to learn the dialogue. We had one scene that I had to do that originally was like a page of dialogue. And on the day that we were to shoot it, I'm in makeup getting ready to go shoot the scene.
Yes.
They bring me a rewrite. I think it was like 5 pages. Most of it was just me talking. And we got through it on the first take. So,
hey. You
know, again, the words, good words have a tendency to go into your brain easily.
Yes.
Bad writing doesn't. It you know, your brain wants to reject bad writing, and I've had to do some things like that too. And those scenes are hard to learn, but David's writing was easy to learn.
So, who was the one that you and I mean, if make you choose favorites, but who was the one who you did scenes with where you knew this was going to crackle? Who was it?
Everybody,
really,
everybody. But I guess especially Ian and. God bless him. Powers Booth.
May he rest in peace.
May he
Cy
rest
Tolliver.
In peace. Yeah.
Well, he seethed. Every word out of his mouth seethed.
Yes. Yes. He was brilliant.
He was.
Yeah.
I know. Well, and then and NCIS Los Angeles, again, it is returning to CBS and Paramount Plus on October 9th on Sunday. What's it like for you to be back in the old, good old procedural crime drama? What's that like for you, Gerald McCraney? What do you got?
Don't let them know, but it's like stealing money.
Well, you might leave fingerprints. That sounds like an episode right there.
Yeah,
it's like stealing money, huh?
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, I'm just looking at the way your career started, where so many procedural dramas that you were in, crime and, you know, Rockford Files, back in the day, Police Woman. I mean, like, these are some Petrocelli, Beretta. I mean, you were on the some of the best of the best
and
back in
all
the 70s.
The Quinn Martin shows way back
Quinn
in the
Martin
day.
Quinn Martin Productions. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
But I have to say, you mentioned Rockford Files.
Yes, sir. You got a good story
One
there?
Of my favorite things about that show.
Yes.
The first one I did, I had a scene to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in my little dressing room, one of, I don't know, four or five in a row.
Yeah.
And I had just arrived, and there's a knock on the door, and I thought, geez, can they be ready that quickly?
And
I opened the door, and there's Jim Garner, who says, "Hey, Hoss, I'm Jim. Just wanted to welcome you to the show. Hope you have fun." That was it. But that was the way that man was. I'm a day player. I'm doing a scene. And he went out of his way to welcome me to his show. Months later, my parents had come out here for a visit, and I arranged for them to have lunch with me at the commissary at Universal, which was a big to-do for them.
Sure.
And I saw that Rockford Files was shooting right across the street from that. And I went over there just to see if Jim was there, and he was. And I knocked on his trailer, and his assistant came and answered the door. Said hi to me and everything. Mm-hmm. I said, I just wanted to see if Jim was going to have a moment to say hello to my parents. Well, there was an executive in there with Jim who said something to the effect of, "We don't have time for that." To which Jim responded, "Well, we're going to have to make some time, aren't we?" Came out and spent like the next hour with my parents.
Fantastic.
And just kept that executive in there cooling his heels, learning some manners. And I will never forget that as long as I live. He was the finest gentleman I think I've run across in this business. Again, rest his soul. But he was such an outstanding man.
And you must have been, I'm assuming, a fan of Maverick and The Great Escape and knowing exactly who that was.
Oh, sure.
Going into that.
Yeah. He was one of the guys I looked up to when I was, you know, an amateur and just getting started. And I look up to him to this day.
Well, I truly... a huge fan of your work.
Thank you, sir.
A huge fan, and I can't wait to see more of what you're doing because you just own the screen every time you're on it, and everybody should watch, again, NCIS Los Angeles, 14th season of that program. It premieres Sunday, October 9th, 10 Eastern on CBS and Paramount+. I appreciate you coming on.
It's my pleasure.
And before you go out the door, I do need you to sign the Deadwood hat.
Oh, absolutely.
I will do that when we take a break. The Deadwood hat that has been autographed by everybody that's come through here. Titus Welliver, I left his name out. He came in to promote the latest season of Bosch. I need you to sign it with your favorite curse word.
You got
it. Okay, very good. Gerald McCraney here on the Rich Eisen Show. We will take you to your weekend of football viewing when we come back.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
You can listen to the NFL in the NFL app on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. What makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination? Well, because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries, and they've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Chris Brockman, do you have some sneaky good games to get people some assistance?
Let's do it.
Let's hit it, please, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
Dick Ebersole just called back and wanted to know how we got Tom Brokaw for that open. So I just told him, look. All right. What do you got over there, Chris? What do you got over there?
All right, we were 1-2 last week. No, Panthers host us. We should have won that game, to be honest. We should be 2-1.
Who's we?
Who's we? Just all the collective we who, oh, okay. are, who are tailing. All right, let's do it. And first up, I'm looking at the total at New England and Pittsburgh. This is going to be a slog. I can't anticipate a lot of scoring in this game. I'm going under 40.5. That's a low number, but I feel like, I mean, it was 20-7 last week. I don't know how the Pats are scoring. Under in Pittsburgh, okay? Also, let's go to Dallas. You saw what they did last week with Dak Prescott. What are they going to do without Dak Prescott? Lay the points, take the Bengals. They bounce back big. Bengals -7. Raiders also going to get a bounce back game. Arizona might be in the bottom 5 teams in the NFL this year. They look awful.
It's just 1 week, Chris.
We're going to lay the Raiders 5.5. I like the Raiders by at least 2 scores, maybe 2 touchdowns. Under New England, Pittsburgh. Lay the points, Bengals. Lay the points, Raiders. Let's go.
Okay, that's their sneaky good games. I can't imagine Arizona's going to be that bad just because the Chiefs just boat raced them in week one. I don't know.
Raiders are good.
Tell me about it.
I'm trying to back your play.
Tell me about it.
Million degrees of that game.
Okay, so TJ Jefferson, you'd like to assist people in their fantasy conundrums, I guess. Should we call this TJ's stardom sit-em?
You know, I'm working
because that's what, you know, everybody in the fantasy world has a stardom sit-em.
Yeah, you know, I'm working on a name. I just don't want to like go with something.
We can't do that. Everyone's got a stardom sit-em.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to. I'm looking for the right name. But as of today, we're just going to go with fantasy starts and sits.
All right, let's get some more NFL Films music for TJ Jefferson. What do you got over there?
At your boy.
Thank you very much. What do you got, Chris?
All right, so real quick, Rich, Chris, and Jason Feller, because I know you come to me for fantasy advice. I'm going to give you guys 3 starts and 3 sits, and then 1 play that you should leave alone for the week, okay? For the starters, I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt. No disrespect, Rich, but Kareem Hunt against the Jets. The Browns against the Jets. Hunt by land, Hunt by air. He's going to pile on the stats, rushing and receiving. He's going to hit the end zone at least once on Sunday, and Brownie the Elf is going to rejoice. Cleveland, this is for you. I'm just trying to smooth things over with those guys. You know how I do. Robbie Anderson, Panthers. You know, remember, Chris, Robbie Anderson had some not so nice tweets about Baker over like the last year, right? And I thought it was more like he was kind of standing up for his QB, Sam Darnold. Well, guess what? Baker's his guy now. And Robbie had a big week one, man. 8 targets, 5 catches, 102 yards. I like his target volume. And I think he's going to find the end zone again. Robbie Anderson, he's going to be a sneaky good play. Mm-hmm. And then we got Travis Etienne. I was very much into this Jags game last week. And I noticed 2 things. He and Trevor, their timing was a little bit off. There was 1 play in the first quarter. Lawrence overthrew Etienne in the end zone. Wide open touchdown. I think in the 4th, Etienne dropped the ball that he could have literally walked into the end zone. So I'm expecting Travis Etienne to bounce back and have a pretty good day.
I blame Urban Meyer. I blame Urban Meyer.
Of course you could.
I blame him.
Let's go to our sits real quick. You know, I'm going to sit, and if you have him, I'm going to tell you to sit Devin Singletary of the Bills, strictly because of this. Zach Moss and James Cook. You know, I played the Bills running back by committee game last season. It's just tough, man. And you don't want to go into Monday night and have Devin Singletary standing between you and a win. So if you've got another person you could play, I would go with it because you don't want any part of that 3-man band. Rashad Bateman, Ravens against Dolphins. He had 2 touchdowns last week, looked really good. I'm just going to give you 2 words. Xavien Howard. Because he's going to be guarding him. I don't want any prior to that. So I'm going to sit Rashad Bateman. And Pat Freiermuth, look, he had a great week one. But Brockman, you know this better than us. Bill Belichick does a great job in shutting down opposing teams' tight end.
Yep.
So I'd be a little bit worried with Pat. So I'd say sit him.
Okay. So then what's your last one to say? Omnibus? What is this?
Yeah, I do, Rich. To go back to something. Back in 2014, the very first week of the Rich Eisen show, it was a Thursday. You had to leave because you were calling the Thursday night game.
Well, I was doing the pre and post in half.
Yep. So Andrew Siciliano was hosting, and I was sat in first week of the show. I actually came to set. You weren't here. I gave a little fantasy football advice, and I mentioned a movie that you hate, but it'll make sense.
I don't hate
The Last Boy Scout.
Because there's a scene in there where Bruce Willis asks his buddy head or gut, and that's all fantasy is, right, Chris?
Yeah.
You look at the stats and you use your head,
make a decision.
I'm gonna make this decision, or you go, you know what? I know what the stats say, but I'm gonna trust my gut on this one. So. This might be a little weird, but I'm going to tell you to sit Tom Brady this week.
Ooh.
Just simply because in three games with the Bucs, he's yet to defeat the Saints in the regular season. And also, Marshawn Lattimore has Mike Evans' number, and Mike Evans hasn't practiced. Matter of fact, it seems like the entire Bucs team is on.
Yeah, the Bucs
having
the
some
Bucs
issues
injury
right
list
now.
Looks like a good old fashioned Patriots injury list.
Yeah,
where
right?
19 people are questionable, and yeah, go. Good luck trying to figure out who's playing.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, Mike Evans hasn't played practiced all week. He's normally a must start, but Lattimore, man, that's a tough matchup. So I'm just going to say roll the dice. If you got a better option, maybe sit Tom Brady. And, you know, that's my fantasy advice for the week.
Nice. Okay, we got fantasy out of the way, and we got your sneaky good games, Chris Brockman.
Yes, yes, yes.
Very, very
Let's
good.
Do it,
the
people.
NFL season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream. This NFL season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. Triple headers, the international series, and every postseason game. Check it all out. Can't wait for this weekend. Sneaky good game. Which one
What's
is it?
What's your biggest upset of the weekend, Rich?
I don't know why I'm nervous about the Falcons for the Rams. But
really?
I am.
Oh, my gosh. 0-2.
I am. Or Lions beating the Commanders, but you say they're supposed to win it.
Now they're favored. But
I'm nervous for your Cowboys, too, TJ. Oh, I think
that's
a problem.
Completely understandable.
I saw an article today in the Dallas Morning News that Michael Gallup's the answer, because that means you can't just put three guys on CeeDee Lamb.
And, Rich, that's why I wasn't too worried. Like, James Washington, as I told you, broke his foot about 5 weeks ago, so he should be back within the next few weeks. And
it's
Gallup.
Too bad. Yeah. I think you're 0-2.
I don't think Cooper rushes it.
I think you're 0-2.
You're probably
right.
Oh,
by the way, I want to thank the Browns.
Yeah.
Your boy Nate Segura came on yesterday.
Shout Segura.
They overnighted.
That thing looks so good.
It is. It's a hoodie.
It's fresh.
It is. It's huge. And only problem is an elf on it. Is that wrong? But thank you to the Browns for sending this to me.
The kids will like it.
Kids will love it. It'll be huge. We'll see you Monday, everybody.